Okay. Get myself in order here. Okay, I made the announcements and everything, so turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19, and we'll read verses 16 through 30. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day, for the Sunday school lesson. Many things in there that we need to learn and think about, apply to our lives. Think about when the time came that someone talked to us about the Lord. Message that we heard that about Jesus. And we pray that Thou would give us the desire to witness as the disciples did and as we're supposed to do. May Thy will be done. Bless this church. We pray that Thou would provide for us a pastor that would be able to do the work that needs to be done and lead us and guide us in all that we do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 30. 16 through 30. Behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, before we go on any farther, notice the terms that was given here. And think about a lot of the religions that are found in the world today. Good Master. And we don't call Almighty God just a good Master. And then at the same time, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto them, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Which one of the commandments should I keep? There again, we have, of course, the Ten Commandments we have posted on the board. And the commandments is mostly, Thou shalt not. The commandments, in other words, are to each one of us individually. Thou shalt not. You shalt not. The commandments of God are not for the other person. Oh, so-and-so should have heard that. He needs that message. No. If God gave us the message while you were here, you need the message. I need the message. So, it isn't the one that's not here that needed it. It's the ones that are here that needs it. And of course the others should be here. And they will answer to God for that. But anyhow, verse 16, it said, Good Master, not Jesus, not Savior, not Lord, good Master. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. He said, which? Which one should I keep? Anything that God tells you. Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Young man saith unto him, ah, I've done all these things. Says, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. He said, well, you've got everything. You know everything. Sell everything you have and just follow me. Now, wait a minute. Follow you, sell all that I have, and follow you? When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Why did he go away sorrowful? Not that he had one who said, follow me, and I'll give, he said, I'll give to me, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. But he had a lot of treasure that he had great possessions. Sell my great possessions and follow you. The whole idea is let nothing that we have be more important than doing what God tells us to do, serving God. If what we have is more important than following the Lord and doing what He says, then sell them, do away with them. You don't need them. That's not the, those are not the things that you need. When you will turn from following Jesus because what you have keeps you home, then that's more important. Jim Edmond, who used to be pastor of the church, said, I really don't believe that a Christian should even own a home. That's what he told me. And I understand what he's saying. If we own something, if we buy something, we have paid for it, and it's ours. And we kind of attach a spatial, some spatial thing to it. That's my car. That's my house. That's my possession, whatever it is. Mine. I bought it. See what I'm saying? He had great possessions. If our possessions are more important than doing what God tells us to do, then they're too important in our life. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again I say unto you, and it is easier for a camel, to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean only the people that has a lot of things. It's the anybody that what they have is more precious to them than anything else. If what I have makes me feel rich, then I need to realize I am nothing and have nothing compared to Christ. Christ is my all in all. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" Going back to implying that you have to have something to be saved. Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." My message today is, what are your priorities? What do you think about as more important to you? Is there anything that you have that's more important than the Lord Jesus Christ? Anything that you have that's so important that it keeps you away from serving God, worshiping with brothers and sisters, and following Christ? This young ruler, he was a good moral man, verse 18 through 20 we read. He saith unto him, which Jesus says, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." He said unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? I've done all these things. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't committed adultery. I don't steal. I don't tell lies about other people. I honor my father and my mother. And I love my neighbors. What do I lack?" He was a good moral man. He kept all of the commandments. He said he kept them all. Look over in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And verses 1 through 17. Let's read. We'll read them real quick because these are the Ten Commandments. "God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness, or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, or manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, and sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Look at the first one, the first commandment there in the first one here in this 19th chapter. Oh, I'm sorry. I read the 20th chapter. Yeah, that's what. Exodus, the 20th chapter. And look at verses 21 and 22. The people stood afar off. Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I talk with you from heaven. He said, this is what I want you to tell the people of Israel. You've seen how I have talked to you. Kept all the Ten Commandments, but the first. I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God, which kept thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't have any other gods before him. God says, you have seen, or I'm getting mixed up. I'm sorry. Moses said, you have seen that I have talked with God. God has talked with me. You have seen that. You haven't kept that first commandment. First commandment. Have no other gods before me. Because their material things was more important to them than God. Doesn't mean you can't have material things. But what is wrong, what was wrong with the whole situation was they valued their material things more than they valued the Lord who gave them to him. More than God who made it possible for them to have it. Our priorities are not with our material things. Our priorities is not with the house we have. That's why Jim Everman said, he didn't think a preacher should own a house. Because if you're called to go somewhere else, you'd be tempted not to go because you own a house where you are. That was his thinking. If you own a house, you would be tempted not to go where the Lord would lead you if He would lead you away from where you own the house. Don't have anything that would keep you from serving God. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, and verses 1 through 3. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Your house is on the earth. Your car is on the earth. Your possessions are in your house or in your possession. On the earth. Set your affections not on yourself or what you have, but on the things of God, the things above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Be ready to leave father and mother if necessary to serve God. Your greatest possession, whatever you have. Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 31. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now and is this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children, lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. In the world to come, eternal life. Matthew says, in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Now the word man is in parentheses, it's written different. Can't think of the word right now. That means it wasn't in the original. When they translated the Bible, they put in what they thought would fit. In this case, it doesn't mean man alone, it means mankind. If any person or anyone will come after me, man or woman, child or grown up, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let him take up his cross, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny yourself. And Luke 14 says this, along that same line. Luke chapter 14 and verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. It doesn't mean go off and leave it. That means don't let that keep you from following him. If you are not willing to follow him above and beyond all that you have, you can't be his disciple. He may take you somewhere else. In my lifetime, I've seen many preachers called to preach, and many of them called to go as missionaries to other countries. Leave what all they have, leave their home, their family, all that they have, and go into another country. Actually, when missionaries first started going out, they had no idea that they would ever come home. They went following the Lord and served him wherever he led them. You go into other countries that have different ideas, ways of doing things, languages, and so on. And you go there to tell them about Jesus. If you're not willing to leave whatever you have to follow Jesus, you can't be his disciple. You can't be his disciple. For example, in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verses 18 through 22. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Their life, they had been taught from a child up to fish. That was their livelihood. That was how they earned their food and how they earned the whatever they had. To be fishermen. And when Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. When we were saved, every one of us, when we were saved, the message was similar. Follow me. Believe on Jesus Christ. Serve him. Follow me. Don't follow what you have at home. Don't follow your car that will take you places. It only goes where you take it to make it go. Follow him. Follow me. Follow my Savior, your Savior. Follow Jesus. That's what he's saying. The material things that he allows you to have, be thankful for them. But don't hold those possessions in such esteem that you wouldn't be ready and willing to go anywhere in this world if the Lord calls you and leads you to go there. Don't have anything in your life that would keep you from doing what Jesus would have you to do. Keep you from serving him. That's the important thing in your life. Everything you have has to be something that you would use to give glory to God. Whatever I have is to be His. We just thank God that He made it possible for you to have what you have. But remember, He is everything and all things in our life. He is everything. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 24. He said here in this message, in this sermon, He said in verse 24, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord." We're not above our master. We are servants to him. We are servants to him. In Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And when he, verse 25, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch." Unto Antioch came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Okay, they went, they taught the people, and they were called Christians. You know what the term Christian means? Christ-like. Simply put, the word that's translated Christian means Christ-like. The disciples were called Christians. Notice, they didn't call themselves Christians. They were called that by the people that saw that they acted and did the things that He taught, that He talked about. They were Christ-like. Actually, the honor comes when someone else calls you a Christian, not when you call yourself one. I never, very seldom ever say I'm a Christian. I usually say I'm saved. Others call me a Christian. And if they call me a Christian, they call me that because they see me as Christ-like. If they don't, they don't call me that. That's a term that someone gives you because you're living like you should live. Because you're serving like you should serve. In Acts 13, verses 49 and 52. Acts 13, verse 49 first. "The word of the Lord was published throughout the region." Now, they didn't have printing presses back then. But they spread the word. They set it out throughout all the region. Look at verse 52. "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Now, if you read the other two verses, the Jews stirred the people up and they threw them out, and they shook off the dust of their feet against them, came to Iconium. They were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. The world didn't like them. Acts 21. And verses 4 and 5. "And finding, Well, let's see. The disciples were going out, and they found a ship, and verse 4 says, "And finally, disciples, we tarried there several days, who said they landed at Tyre, and they found disciples. They tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished these days, we departed and went our way. They all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. We kneeled down on the shore and prayed." They knelt down on the shore and prayed. One time I went and held a meeting. I've told this, I'm sure, before, but held a meeting in church, and I was staying with some members of the church, and the man said after church that night, he said, "I'm going to go fishing in the morning. You want to go with me?" And I said, "Well, I don't have a license to fish here, but I'll go with you, and I'll sit on the shore and study and enjoy while you're fishing." And he sat out there fishing. He's throwing his line out and everything. I sat there on the shore. I had just as much time, good a time as he did. I was excited when he caught a fish. But the point is, we were together. And we talked about the things of the Lord. He did his fishing. He was fishing to get food for the house and so on. But we were there rejoicing in the things of the Lord. And it says here they knelt down and prayed. Where? On the creek bank. On the creek bank. Wherever you are, they went out of the city, they came to the shore, they prayed. What do we have in our life? Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." That's written not only to the disciples, that's to us. We're a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. I've told many people many times, when you come to church, you're very pious. You come in with your Bible. You come to listen, to hear the Word of God, to pray, to enjoy the services of God. When you leave those doors, what do you do? When you leave those doors, where do you go? How do you think about the things of God? What's important to you? What's the main thing in your life? Is serving God more important than anything else? Second Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. He does that. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Have you found that when you've been saved, and someone tries to tempt you to do something that you shouldn't do? I remember I've told you this, but I remember as a child, I was going to church every weekend, every Sunday. I went to church. My aunt and uncle picked me up, took me to church every Sunday. And some of my buddies, we were playing around together, and they said something about doing something on Sunday morning. I said, no, I can't. I go to church on Sunday morning. He says, it's okay to go to church on Sunday morning. He said, don't let that interfere with your life. What you do on Saturday, what you do other days. Don't stop from doing the things that you did do just because you go to church on Sunday. That's when I began to realize that the people that I ran around with were not people that served the Lord. And that was the beginning of understanding a lot of things. Some people have forsaken the righteous ways, the ways that that shouldn't be. You know, Psalmist says in Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and verse 9. Jesus said, or the psalmist said, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Hide thy face from my sins. This is the psalmist here in the first verse says, have mercy unto me, O God. This is when he was praying to God. Is a psalm of David. He said, hide thy face from my sins. Notice how that's worded. Don't see my sins. They're covered by the blood of Christ. When I stand before God, when the day comes, He takes me to be home with Him. And I stand before Him. I will stand before Him sinless because Jesus covered my sins. The psalmist said again in his prayer, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. In other words, that was put in by the translators. Then was, that's what he's saying, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And that's when I will teach transgressors thy ways. Sinners shall be converted unto thee. When I'm where I ought to be, I can be one to witness. When we witness someone, ask yourself the question, am I living like I ought to live before I tell them how they ought to live? And that's a question all of us need to ask ourselves. Am I what I ought to be? Have I been what I ought to be? Okay. What should be first in our life? Jesus. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Excuse me. Because thou hast left thy first love. First love isn't our mate. Our first love is Jesus. The Bible. The Bible is His word to us. Look at Psalms 119. And verse 9 and 7. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts, thy word, thy teachings, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Therefore, I hate every false way. Church should be first in your life. Christ, Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Bible, the church. Hebrews chapter 10, I'll go quickly to these verses. I'm gone way over. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. God said we should assemble ourselves together. That's what a church is. An assembly. Assembling for the worship of God. And don't forsake your praying. And then we'll close with that. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto. With all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And then Paul said, and for me. Pray for all of your brothers and sisters, and pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, make known the mystery of the gospel. We're to pray for everybody around. And then, as Paul said, Peter said, love him, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Our prayers should be for ourselves, our neighbors, our friends, anyone that we meet along the way, for our church, our pastor, that the one who is doing the preaching would be able to utter that which God would have them to utter, and to present to us the Word of God. Pray for your pastor. Pray that you get a pastor. Pray that God will lead someone to build you up, to be one who can do the work of a pastor, that we might have a church that will give glory and honor to God. Pray. Pray for me. Pray for a pastor to come. Pray for one another, for your neighbors and friends and loved ones. Prayer is a gift that's given to those who know Christ. People of the world do not have a prayer. We can bow our heads and know that our Heavenly Father hears us and listens. Pray for one another. Pray much for this church. Pray much for yourselves. Pray. Shall we stand and be dismissed? Brother Steve dismisses the word of prayer.